The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and he ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace be to you. Grace that is a gift to all from God our Heavenly Father. Peace that comes to us through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Well, welcome to Labor Day weekend. A little bit rainy at this particular point. I always think of this as kind of irony weekend because it's the time when we celebrate the value of labor and work by not doing any. Of course, we should always give a nod and a word of thanks to the people who are working, even while the rest of us are having some time off. Doctors, nurses, police, fire, EMT, staff in the healthcare and the long-term care facilities. Thank you so much to these people. But since labor is more or less the topic of the day, I thought it'd be a good time to reflect a little bit on the spiritual perspective that we bring to work and rest, especially this idea of Sabbath. Now let's start by reviewing some terms, and for that we're going to have the help of our friend Wally. You may remember Wall-E from the Pixar movie, which was released 10 years ago. I'm still trying to get over the fact that I looked it up and it was 10 years ago. Wall-E was a little robot. He was left behind on planet Earth, which had become covered with garbage. So they left him and some other robots to clean up the mess while they went away, and then they would come back. And from this movie, you can actually, Wall-E illustrates for us some nice aspects of life. There at the top left, you can see him. There's Wall-E at work. His job is collect garbage, crunch it, and then stack it. That's his work. You also see that Wall-E knew how to play. On the top right, he's got a little hubcap, which he likes to use for a hat. He does a little song and dance routine to amuse himself and play. The bottom left is Wall-E at rest. It's a little hard to see, but he kind of scrunches down, backs himself onto a shelf, and then he gives it a little shove so that it rocks, and he like rocks himself to sleep. Which is an interesting idea for a robot. But there's Wall-E at rest. And then there's one more on the bottom right there. This is Wall-E in the morning, and he kind of drags himself out, and he opens up his little solar panels, and he collects the energy of the sun. That is Wall-E illustrating for us what Sabbath is really all about. It's an image of Sabbath for us, because Sabbath is not just rest. It's not the same thing as rest, because it's not just inactivity. Sabbath is, in a sense, an activity of soaking. Soaking in the things that give you life and fill you back up again. Now, you may remember that the whole idea of Sabbath appears very early in the scripture. We find it right away in Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, where we have the creation story. And there are two creation stories in there. We're talking about the one that has, you know, on the first day God did this, on the second day, whatnot. And so the first 5 days of creation, God creates light, sun, moon, stars, earth, plants, and animals. On day 6, then, God creates humanity. And he creates us, humans, to be in the image of God. We are like God in some wonderful, mysterious ways. And then God gives us this job. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply." Great job description. And humans are also given some special work to do. We're set up to be the caretakers of God's creation. So all that takes place on the sixth day. Now you might think that, okay, they got their new job. Would they get right to work? Well, in fact, no. Because the seventh day, which would be sort of their first day of being new employees, if you will, of God, the seventh day God declares a holiday, a holy day, as it was. And it's an opportunity for them to enjoy the creation and the Creator. That's the first day, if you will, after creation. And so, I don't know what they did. Maybe they went for a swim. Maybe they laid on the grass and looked at clouds. Maybe they went around and said, look, these are cherries, these are peaches. What does this taste like? And I think in the evening, there was that time of walking in the garden with God in the cool of the evening to discuss the day. That is Sabbath. That's Sabbath. Now, on the next day, okay, day eight, that's when Adam and Eve would get to work, okay? This is their first day of actual work on the job for God. And so here's the thing about Sabbath for us. Most of us are just trained, we're accustomed to think that we are supposed to work first, then, after the work is done, then you get to rest. As if rest is like a reward or something you have to earn before you're allowed to have any of that. Okay? Really, this is drilled into us in ways we don't even realize. This is why we call it the weekend instead of the week start. Yeah? Because, well, you gotta do your work first, and then comes the weekend when you get a chance to like relax a little bit. But God's design for us and for all things is to be filled up first. Then you have something to work with. You have vitality, you have energy, you have joy, you have love to give. In the story of creation, it's as simple as day seven comes before day eight. First, the Sabbath. The theologian I love to read, I benefited from a lot, his name is Mike Breen. He says it this way: we were designed to work from our rest, not rest from our work. See how that flips it? We work from our rest, not rest from our work. Now, while we're here at this particular point, I do want to mention that this is yet another example of the pipe, the L-shaped pipe motif. This is my favorite thing. That's always my go-to. This idea that we're built to have a certain shape of receiving from God and releasing, and the receiving always comes first before we live and love out in the world. God pours into us first, then the workflow and the outflow comes from us naturally. It's right there in the first chapters of Genesis. So, that is the intention for Sabbath. And there's actually two parts of what God is using Sabbath for in the world. The first is it's a benefit to us, okay? It gives us a life that works the way it's designed to work. You get filled up first, now you've got something to give. But the Lord also drew on Sabbath in an additional way to benefit our neighbors by giving them a lifestyle on display that they can learn from. Now, here's what I mean by that. You may have seen, you know, over the years that sometimes aid workers will go to impoverished countries and they will teach the people things like farming techniques. And they say, okay, here's ways you can irrigate, and here's something about fertilizer or crop rotation or whatever. So they would go into these places with these things that they can teach. And of course, you know, the natives are like, we don't know you people. We've been doing this for a lot of years. Why should we do what you're suggesting? Which is pretty smart. So what the aid workers do is they start the first season with a demonstrator plot. And they plant the plants and do this. And then by the end of the season, you know, these things have worked, and you see the plants are really healthy, and there's this huge harvest. And so the people are going like, okay, wow, that's way better. We'll give that a try. We'll do it your way. It's a demonstrator plot. when God decided to put a chosen people into a promised land, God was setting up a demonstrator plot, or really a demonstrator community, for two reasons. First, so that they could have a life that works, but also so that everyone around them could see, oh, this is how life works. This is who God is. And then they would be drawn into that because they are children of God too. That's what God is up to. And the Sabbath life, the rhythm that works, is a part of what God has always called his people to demonstrate for the sake of their neighbors. And that, in fact, that's what we saw in the first lesson. I don't know if you caught it in that Old Testament reading, Deuteronomy 4:6. There's the instructions about here's the law, here's how I want you to live. And then it said, you got to observe these commandments diligently. Why? For this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples all around you, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, well, surely this is a great nation, a wise and discerning people. They see the example. Now, it's a little ironic that they get the credit for having good laws which God gave to them. So the conversation should unfold like, wow, you have a really wise nation. You people are special. And they're going like, well, we didn't make this up. To be honest, let me tell you about the God who taught us how to live this way. But it's a lifestyle on display. It's part of God's purpose in the Sabbath. So, great plan, right? Good life for you, blessing to your neighbors. Well, we haven't exactly done a great job in living that out over the centuries. We typically take the gift of Sabbath and make it into more work to do. Except now you have to do the work of studiously avoiding work. Now, this is what Jesus was running up against, right? In the gospel lesson I read for you, it's just flat-out oppressive religious legalism. Not a fun way to live. And they're all focused on what you can do, what you can't do, what constitutes work, what's not work, and it just does not give life. It really drains life away. Now, in our own day, we're not quite as caught up in legalism, but I think our problem is a little bit more like a bait-and-switch kind of a situation. Remember, we talked about the weekend, right? So we typically have this thing where we're working towards the weekend and we're looking forward to finally getting that day off. And when you get there, what do you find? It's still packed with stuff. All this stuff you got to do. And it isn't really a day off, is it? It's just a day on for all the work you don't get paid to do. All right? It's a bait and switch thing that we keep buying into over and over and over again. And so you don't really get any kind of healthy Sabbath rest rhythm out of that. And I think over time, that's probably what pushed us into the next problem, which is you might call it binge resting, where we say, by gosh, I'm really going to take some time off. I deserve this, okay? And so now you're going to cram so many leisure activities into your tiny little bit of time that you end up exhausted from your leisure, and maybe with a hangover, right? You're exhausted from your recreation. You show up to work on Monday, and it's like, oh, how was your weekend? Binge resting. That's not exactly how God, I think, wants life to be like for us. We need to return to the rhythm that God has built into our lives. Now, I was encouraged by some friends about 5 years ago to find some ways to put Sabbath back into my own life. And it has been a huge blessing to me to pursue that practice. And you have to kind of keep restarting it because, you know, life gets in the way and then you get a cold and, you know, there's no rhythms when you have a cold and this type of stuff. But it's been a huge blessing. And so I wanted to just wrap up by offering you some encouragement and a couple of suggestions about beginning to pursue a Sabbath rhythm. First of all, just start, okay? Yes, it could be a huge, huge lifestyle change to give an entire day to this very different way of being, okay? This is massively countercultural. So, okay, just start with what you can do. How much time can you take? If you can't do it every week, you know, when can you come back to that? It makes me think about Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, taste and see that Sabbath is good. And you get a taste, and then see if you can't build on that. So just start. Secondly, just stop. Here's a great exercise to get a taste of Sabbath, is to set aside some time, go outside into creation, good place for having Sabbath, right? Go outside, sit in a chair, and literally do nothing. Try that. Talk about counterculture, just sit. 10, 20, maybe 30 minutes. It may actually be uncomfortable. We're just not accustomed to this. But try that and see what it's like to be free from the requirement to be busy, from the expectation that you got to be productive. You can't just sit there. Yes, you can. It's okay to stop. There's a word of grace and gospel in our world, in your life. It's okay to stop. Find out what that feels like. You have God's permission to stop. In fact, God is encouraging you to rediscover what that gift is like and to make stopping a regular part of your life. Third, I want to say this, jumpstart, okay? Now, yes, I just talked about stopping, all right? So we got to remember that Sabbath is not about enforced inactivity, right? Don't let that become a law, and now you have to stop, and how much, did I stop enough time, right? That's a valuable practice. But Sabbath is ultimately about finding what fills you up, and then doing that, rediscovering the spark of joy that God puts into your heart. And I use the phrase jumpstart because it's just like with a car. You know, you've all been there, I imagine. The car won't start, so you put the cables on, you give it a jumpstart. It gets a jolt of energy, and that gets it moving again, right? Well, I think a great Sabbath practice is to think for a little bit about the things that you could do. Now, I'm not talking about the things you need to be doing. I'm not talking about everything on your to-do list. I'm thinking about, you know, I could do this, or I could do this. I have this Sabbath opportunity. I could do this. And as you're kind of scanning through those, notice when you get to the one you go like, I could do this. The one that gives you a spark, and do that. Let it jumpstart the joy in you. And that will be Sabbath for you. It will fill you just like Wally soaking up the energy. I want to say, remember what the first Sabbath day was like. It was a whole day to explore and play and walk around the garden with God. Enjoy the gift. Yes, creation, life, relationships, fun. Enjoy these gifts. Yes, and even more, enjoy the giver. Because Sabbath is not something that we do for God. It's something we do with God. We do it for the pure joy of being at rest and being together. Amen.